Bible Line, Bible Line. Hear God's Word on Bible Line. Hear God's truth on Bible Line.
Welcome to Bible Line with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bible Line to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's concluding message of this teaching will be a blessing to you and your family.
Your salvation, going to heaven, has nothing to do with you performing. That's works for salvation. That's the law. You're not saved by the law. And that's why in verse 10, he makes a statement, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." Look what it says. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." In other words, you have to continue all your life, time you're born to the time you die, and you can't break one law. You have to fulfill every law. You want to be under the law? You're under a curse because you can't keep it. The law was given in order to show man that he cannot save himself by his works. That's why when God gave the law to Moses, God also gave him the ceremonial laws, the sacrificial laws, the moral law. He gave all these laws. Why? Because if you don't keep this law, you're going to have to make this sacrifice in order for your sins. God already knew. You ain't keeping it, bud. And you got to keep these sacrifices. The sacrifices never took away sin. It only atoned. It appeased God. Because they did that looking forward to one day, there'll be one person, a high priest, be able to go into that Holy of Holies and present the blood of Jesus Christ, the incorruptible blood that'll last for all eternity and never has to be done again. That's why Jesus Christ can give eternal life, because his death was for everybody in the world. And he paid for all my sins at one time forever. So no more sacrifices have to be made. That's awesome. That is just awesome. Now look what he says there in verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God." What does it say? No man is justified by the law. It means not by your works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." Some people can't see that. Not of works means not of works. Not of works means you don't earn it. You don't work for it. I've had people say, you can't tell me you can just trust Christ as your Savior. That's all there is to it. If I can't tell you that, then God can't tell you that. Then I guess you can go to hell if you want. But that's the only salvation there is. There is no plan B or C. There's only plan A. Only one way. And it's either by grace or you don't go. There is no other way. Now get this. Look what he says there in verse 13. This is very important. First part of this verse, you ought to underline it in your Bible. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law by redeeming us from the law." You see, I'm removed from the curse of the law because God removed me from the law. You see, when I was born in this world, I was born with a sinful nature. I sinned naturally. Nobody ever had to teach me how to sin. I don't know who I learned it from. No. We all have a sinful nature. We're born under this law because God says that everybody is guilty. The whole world is guilty before God. So we're all guilty. We've broken God's law. I told the college kids just the other day, I says, in James chapter 2 and verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law is guilty of all." Didn't y'all college kids remember that? All. "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point is guilty of all." In other words, a good illustration. Man's hanging over a cliff, 10 links in a chain. You're hanging on to this last link. How many links in the chain have to break before you fall? Now, this is difficult. I know this is very difficult. Just who said one? Just one. And does it matter which one? Well, I never did this, this, and this, and this. Yeah, but did you ever do this? Well, only once. It was a little white lie, too. Whosoever keeps all of the law, in one point you're guilty of all. Why? You still mashed potatoes. Still die. Same penalty. And so God says, the law, every man has broken it. And all must die. And because every man has to die, we're under the curse of the law. Well, Christ was born under the law, made of a woman, under the law. But the law couldn't curse him. Why? Why? He didn't break the law. So the law couldn't kill him. The law could not demand his death. That's why Jesus was innocent. And he can voluntarily give himself as a substitute for my... You know why I couldn't pay for your sins? I had sin of my own. You know why you can't pay for somebody else's sin? Because you're guilty of your own. So a man who's guilty can't pay for somebody else's. But Jesus did not sin. Therefore, he was free from the law. And why did he go ahead and die as a payment for everybody else that was under the law? That he might redeem us from the curse of that law. And so by you putting your faith in Jesus Christ, you're removed from the curse of the law into the grace of God. And once you're in Christ, you're no longer under the law. So that's why he's telling these Galatians, don't put yourself back under the law, because that's not putting yourself back in a blessing, but a curse. That's why he says, where's your happiness? Where's your joy? There's no happiness and no joy when you go to church because you have to. But buddy, there can be a smile on your face when you do it because you want to. Duh. Now look at it. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Then he says this in verse 14. Why did Christ die and pay for the sins of the world? Because God made Abraham a promise that he would justify a person by faith and faith alone. So you look at this verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham, what is the blessing of Abraham? Salvation by grace. You're saved by grace, by faith alone. That's the blessing of Abraham. And he says that the blessings of Abraham, get this, might come on the Gentiles. Not just the Jew, but the Gentiles. Get this, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We receive this promise, the fulfillment of this promise by faith and faith alone in what Christ did on the cross for us. Now, look what he says in verse 16. Because God made a promise. In verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So when God was talking to Abraham, God told Abraham about Jesus Christ. The Bible even tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 that Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater treasures than all the treasures of Egypt, made up his mind about what he was going to do. Moses knew about Jesus Christ. Abraham knew about Jesus Christ, because there is no salvation without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a first and last name like Ralph Arnold. Jesus is Jehovah. Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah. The one who came into this world was God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And without him was not anything made that was made, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is God. He is Jehovah. He's God himself. Now notice this. He says in verse 14 that the seed, which is Christ, there was a promise made. That this seed, which is Christ, was going to become the payment for the sins of the world. Then, look in verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was, get this, 430 years afterwards, cannot disannul. The law that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai did not disannul the promise that God made to Abraham 430 years earlier. Then why did God give the law? Because it was convincing to the people that they cannot save themselves by their works. The only reason you will trust Christ as your Savior is when you find out you cannot save yourself. Why should I trust Him to do what I can do? So God shows you, you can't do it. Why? You got to be perfect. How you doing? See, there is no good heaven. There's a perfect heaven. And you have to be perfect to get there. But heaven is not a reward for you being good. Heaven is the destination of those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, look at this last part of this verse. This is an awesome verse. The law which was 430 years after cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The promise was that you're saved by faith. The law cannot annul that. All of your good work, bad work cannot help your salvation. Yes, I trusted Christ as my Savior 57 years ago, but I go to church and I read my Bible and I pray. I try to live a good life, a righteous life. I love my wife. I love my kids. I give to missions. I do all the things I'm supposed to do, but I don't do any of that to go to heaven. I do it because I'm going to heaven. I am a child of God. And I am totally trusting in what Christ did for me. I do not have any confidence in any of my good deeds to get me to heaven. Why? Because I'm not seeking to be saved. Because I already am. You see, if you're already a child of God, you don't try to do something to become a child of God. I don't have to do anything to get eternal life. Why? I already have eternal life. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You got it already. Why trying to work for something you already have? If I'm already saved, I have to try to be saved. Now get what he says here. You'll see this down there in verse 21. The law. Is the law then against the promises of God? Get this. God forbid. And you ought to underline this part of the verse. See that little word if? For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. In other words, if a man could earn his way to heaven, that's the way it ought to be. But no man can earn it. Because you've got to be perfect and nobody's perfect. Because we're all born with a sinful nature. So it doesn't matter. If the desire is there, the will is there, the spirit is there, but you just can't perform. How many of you can honestly raise your hand and say, I have lived a perfect life so far? I'm waiting. Your wife is watching. So you see, it was hopeless. That's why God did it the way he did it. Why? So that a man can know he has eternal life, know he's going to heaven. Why? He made it free. Wasn't that good of God? Just make it free. Just give it to you because he loves you. And all you had to do was believe that he did it on the cross for you. Now, get what he says here. Look in verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded almost everybody under sin except Yankee. Oh, we'll throw Boaz in here? I don't think I'd trust Boaz either. Get this. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that, underline that last word. The promise will be given to them that do what? That believe. The scripture has concluded all under sin because all are under the law. That the promise God made might be given to them that believe. So when he talks about this faith and justified by faith, faith means because you believe it. You took him at his word. So when I believed on Jesus Christ, a long time ago, 1960, God gave me this free gift of everlasting life. I have been justified by faith. And therefore, I accept it. I love it. I want to tell everybody about this because see, there's no trick to it. There's no gimmick. Do you have to go to church to go to heaven? No. Do you have to give money? No. Do you have to pray? No. Do you have to change your life? No. You mean you can live like the devil? Yes, you do anyway, don't you? You say, you can't tell people that they can just live like they please. Why? Well, they're already doing that. How would you like to live like you please and still have eternal life and go to heaven tonight? But you know, whenever you trust Christ as Savior and God gives you eternal life, you'd be surprised how the love of God can be manifested in your life. And next thing you know, this doesn't please God. I don't guess I need to do that. And this doesn't please God. Because after a while, you think about, you know, I just want to please the Lord. And some of these things doesn't please God. So therefore, I'm going to correct my life. Not because I have to, but because I want to. But when you take and say, you must You have put people under a law they cannot keep. And that is not salvation by faith alone. That's adding grace and works together, which will not work. They annul each other. Now get this. He makes a statement in verse 23. For before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up until the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The law pointed you to Christ. The law, it look at it, and it points you to Christ. In other words, I tell the college kids, when you get up in the morning and you look in that mirror, say, you tiger, you don't you ever die. No, not really. See, when you're looking in that mirror and you see that there's some work that needs to be done, and you see you got cobwebs in your hair and turtleneck sweaters on your teeth, you need a shave, guys. And you see there's a mess in front of you. Well, you don't take the mirror off the wall and wash your face with it. No, the mirror shows you the problem. It doesn't solve the problem. The mirror points you to the, you know, the razor and the shaving cream and the toothbrush and the toothpaste and the comb. And the law points you to Christ. The law is to bring you to Christ, because the law cannot save you. The law is why you're cursed. And it says, I can't help you. I can't forgive you. I can't do anything for you. The law has no compassion. The law has no mercy. The law points you to Christ. Christ is the only one that can deliver you from the curse of the law. And that's why he died. So that we could have this free gift of everlasting life and know that we're going to heaven when we die. Now look what he says. The last part of verse 24. The law is like the school bus that takes the kids to the school. But the school bus doesn't teach those kids anything. It's just a point you to school. And so he says in the last part of verse 24, that we might, why do we have to go to Christ? That we might be justified by faith. That's what God promised to Abraham, and that was the purpose of the law, and that's why the Son had to come and fulfill the righteous demands of the law, so that God could fulfill his promise to save a man by faith. Now, get what he says here. In verse 25, but after the faith has come, after you put your trust in Christ, you don't need the law anymore. Why? You're not under the law. Now you're to serve God by grace because of what God has bestowed upon you. Because he allowed me on this side of the grave before I ever went to hell to hear the good news about his love for me. Now I want to serve the Lord. Look what he said in verse 26. For ye are all, get this, all the children or the sons of God by what? Faith in Christ Jesus. See, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. All are the children of Abraham by faith. If Jewish people don't trust Christ as their Savior, they don't go to heaven. They don't have eternal life. And they're not God's kids. God chose them as a nation in order to bring the Messiah into the world, to give us the Word of God, and to become a light to the Gentiles. But so much for that. But God says, Jew or Gentile, you're all saved exactly the same way. And you become the children of God by faith in Christ. If you don't put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are not the child of God. In Romans in chapter 9 and verse 8, he says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. You're only a child of God when you trust Christ as your Savior and are born into God's family. And the moment you do so, you become his child. Now look what he says there in verse 29. He said in verse 29, for if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. You see, when you believe what God said, then you are heirs of that promise that God made to Abraham. I am a child of God. I am of the seed of Abraham, and I'm a Gentile. I wish I was Jewish. I have a big old Morgan Davis, you know, sign on my, I'd wear a big old chain. But I'm not. But I am glad of who I am. I'm a child of God by faith in what Christ has done for us. Now, let me show you something. Most of you have never seen this before. But watch now very closely. At no time will this hand ever leave my wrist. I want you to watch. Verify that this is true. This is you and me. And letter of the wallet represents sin. We all have sin on us. God loves us. Now, he hates our sin, but he loves us. And the Bible says we have all sinned. You see, well, what is sin? Well, whatever it is, you did it. Because God says all of us have. But whatever it is, it's rebellion to God. It's disobedience. It's transgressing the law. It's not fulfilling the law. It's not being perfect. So God has his perfect law. You want to live with him? Just be perfect. Nobody's perfect. So the law condemns everybody because all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So we all have to die. That's why everybody born, everybody dies. You see, Christ didn't have to die because, you see, he didn't have a sinful nature. He never did anything wrong. But we've all sinned, so we're all condemned. And to be eternally separated from God in a literal fire-burning hell. See, you don't need a Savior to keep you from going to a place if it don't exist. So God says he loves us, wants us to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, we have to be perfect, no sin. And nobody's perfect. Nobody qualifies. So God says, by your works, you cannot improve your situation. You're already condemned. So doing good deeds will not take away your bad deeds. This requires death. If there's only one sin over here, all your good works of all of your life can't take away that one sin. You still got to die. Still got to pay for it. You're still going to go to hell. But God loves us. And he says you cannot pay for your sins by good works. You need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. And the law puts us in this condition so that we can see that no man is righteous. The law points you to Christ. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. God in the flesh came into the world. He has no sin, doesn't have to die. But he loves us, hates our sin because our sin separates us from him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. He took all the sin of all the world, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. And he says, the only thing you and I have to do, believe that he did it for us. Why did he do this? Because he didn't want you to do this. He did it for you. He paid for your sin because he didn't want you to pay for your sins. And the Bible says that Christ died for our sins before we were ever born. He did it 2,000 years ago. So if he paid for our sin 2,000 years ago, how many of our sins did he pay for? All of them, before we were ever born. So that means past, present, future. He's already paid for every sin that I'll ever commit in my whole life. And he did the same thing for you, for the whole world. And the only thing he wanted us to do when he came back from the dead is this, will you believe I did that for you? So when you believe he did it for you, you're not going to try to earn your way to heaven. Why? Because you know you're already going. See, people are trying to earn their way to heaven by their good life. It means they're not trusting in what he did. They're going to trust in what they do. I know I'm going to heaven because of what he said and because of what he did. What he did was he paid for all my sins. And what he said was if I'd believe it, I'd have eternal life. So when I trusted Christ as my Savior, God gave me as a free gift everlasting life. If it's everlasting life, how long would it last? If it lasts forever and all my sins are paid, where am I going when I die? Can I know I'm going to heaven before I die? Of course. I know I'm going to heaven. You know, most people, they don't know that. They think it's because of how they live. How you live cannot determine your destination. And it's a shame that people can't see it. But it says many are on the road, the broad road that leads to destruction. And the narrow, few people see this. Because they're still trying to earn their way by how they live and thinking, well, I know she's not saved because, you know, if she was saved, she wouldn't do that. No, you don't get it. A person can trust Christ as Savior and not obey the Lord. Now, look up here. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, if you do it today, you become a child of God. And as a child of God, you got a choice. You can be an obedient child or a disobedient child, but you're still his child. I got three children, the hard way, one wife. When those kids are born into my family, when they're good, they're mine. And when they're bad, they're Betty's. No, they're still ours. But they can be obedient or disobedient. God said, if I'm obedient, he'll bless my life here. And he'll reward me when I get to heaven. But if I'm disobedient, he's going to have to chasten me. Maybe discipline me or take me home for my time. But I'm still his child. So I decided, because I learned a great lesson from my dad. He was a bootlegger. Spent most of his life in the chain gang. Had a nickname, Shine. But he beat the tar out of me every time I turned around. He'd give me a whooping just for general principle. He knew I needed it, but he didn't know why. But he knew I needed it for some reason. And he would just tear me up. I know what it's like to get a whooping. So in my Christian life, I decided I would rather have God bless my life than to whoop me. So I want to be an obedient child of God. But see, I'm not doing this to be a child of God. I'm not doing this to get to heaven. I'm doing it because I'm going to heaven. I am his child. And I would rather have his blessings than his whoopings. Doesn't that make sense? But I'm not trying to do it to get to heaven. See, if you're doing it to try to get to heaven, you ain't going. You're not going. You're not saved until you trust Christ and him alone as your only hope of going to heaven. You're saved by faith, not by your works. One work annuls grace. One work. You depend upon one work to get you to heaven, annuls grace. Because grace is the absence of work. Look, if I offered you this yearbook and you accepted, what would you have? This is a hard question. Yearbook. If I offered you this microphone and you accepted, what would you have? Microphone. If I offered you my wallet and you accepted, what would you have? Empty wallet. We're going to take up another collection in a minute. If Christ walked across here and he offered you eternal life and you accepted, what would you have? Eternal life. And if it's eternal life and it lasts forever and all your sins are paid, where are you going? Heaven. Going to heaven. How many of you know positively beyond a shout out, if you died right now, you go to heaven? Let me see your hand. All right, put your hand down. How many know you go to hell? No, don't raise your hand. Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. If you are here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you put your trust in him? I hope because of the things that we've said, what we've shared, you understand you cannot save yourself. The preacher can't save you. The church can't save you. All of your good works will not help. Would you put your trust in Christ? He died for you because he loved you. He paid for all of your sins so that you wouldn't have to. And all he wanted you to do is, would you believe he did it for you? And by you believing that, he gives that payment that he made, he gives it to you. You have a payment for your sins. You go to heaven whenever you die. There's no tricks to it, no gimmicks. I'm not going to pin you against the wall, but I am going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. Raising your hand does not save you. I'm not going to have you forward. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. But right where you're sitting, you say, preacher, that made sense to me, and I will accept Jesus Christ as my Savior right now. And if you're making that decision, I'd like to know and I'd like to have prayer for you. And I'm going to ask you if you'll just slip it up very quickly, put it right back down, say, preacher, that made sense. I will trust Christ as my Savior. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Is there anyone at all? Anyone at all? Just slip it up, put it right back down. Anyone at all? If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have something to share with somebody else. You've got some good news. Best news in all the world. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for those that are watching by internet. We pray that many will understand and put their trust in you. We thank you for this time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is your invitation to join us for our third Sunday dinner held in the Florida Bible College of Tampa building on the Calvary Community Church campus. The dinner is a family-style covered dish dinner and a great way to showcase your favorite dish and pick up new recipes. Each month, you have the opportunity to invite your family and friends to join us for our Sunday morning service at 10:30 and then stay for our third Sunday dinner immediately following at noon. Third Sundays at Calvary Community Church, where you'll be fed spiritually and physically.
Thanks for joining us on Bibleline. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.